There we go. All right, just before we start, let's take hands, please. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the privilege that we have to receive the Word of God, for the blessing afforded to us that we can spend time in the presence of the Most High. Lord, we want to make this declaration. We love you. We love you, and we are so blessed to be part of your kingdom and to be part of the bride of Christ. We know that you love us and that your plans for us are good. As you say in your word, they are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and to give us a future. Lord, truly you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And that also means that you are God of our lives. As we put our hands in yours today, Lord, we trust you to lead us and guide us on the path that you have chosen for each of us individually. And yes, Lord, your word does say that the path that leads to righteousness is narrow. It's not wide. There's not a lot of space. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes it's difficult. But we thank you, Lord, that our hand is in yours and that you take us forward. Thank you for your blessing upon our lives. Thank you for your presence upon our lives. Yes, Lord, we love you. Yes, Lord, we need you. Yes, Lord, you are a blessing to us all. Holy Spirit, please come and fill this place today, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, flood our hearts with grace and mercy, with hope and love, with peace and joy. And I thank you for all of this now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. I am busy with a series on the Holy Spirit. And as I shared with you a couple of weeks ago when I shared my own personal testimony, God taught me in my own life that you can't do much without the Holy Spirit. Before I get to today's teaching, there's something that I have on my heart that I actually feel I have to talk about so that I can get it out of my heart. Today I felt disappointed when I came here and this place is so empty. I'm going to tell you one of the things that I struggle with. You know, our calling is to do what Jesus did, which means we have to preach the word. We have to minister to the sick. We have to set the captives free. And to the best of my ability, I try and do that. And I know the people that work with me, we try very hard to do that. And you know, I find it so difficult that we are in a place and we are in a ministry where we feel the power of God. We see the power of God. We experience the glory of God so often, where God spoils us. But I don't feel that people give back what they receive. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling you how I feel. I don't want you to get offended. Yeah, this is my opportunity to say a couple of things. You know, When we had evening services, people told us, oh, you know what, we can't go in the evenings. It's too late. We have children at school. We can't come there because our children have to go to school. Oh, if you have morning services, then it's fine, we'll come. And I prayed about it, and I decided that that'll probably be the best thing to do. You know, we have less people coming now than what we had before, and I don't understand that. I'm going to be very honest with you. It makes absolutely no sense to me. We have people come here and we see God do miracles for them. We see God heal them, but you know what? We never see them again. What's wrong with this picture? I don't know. Maybe you have to walk in my shoes to understand how I feel, but I feel frustrated some days. Because my attitude is, what more must God do for people to honor God? Some days I don't know. Some days I honestly don't understand. To me, I've become frustrated because I see that we live in a society and we live in an era and we live in a time where people want to use God as a quick fix. When I have a big problem, they better make a plan. They must help me. They must pray for me. They must sort my problem. They must do it all quick. But me, from my side, I'm not going to do nothing. And I want to say to you that shame on all of us if that's the way we want to treat God, because it's wrong. You know, God is God. When He does something for us, He does it out of love. And I believe that us as people, we should reciprocate in love. People have this way of making demands. To the best of our ability, we always try and help. Sometimes I don't see humility in the people that want the help. I see them snap their fingers, jump up and down. You have to do this, you have to do that. Oh, you work for God, you must. No, I don't must nothing. And God must nothing either. Our attitudes must be right, that's it. When you come before God, the Bible says you must humble yourself and the Lord will lift you up. Sometimes I don't see humility in the era that I'm living in. And I think that that's sad. Because I want to be honest with you, humility doesn't cost you a lot. Just like arrogance probably doesn't cost you a lot, but it's a choice we make. Sometimes I feel frustrated because I ask the question, what more must God do to prove Himself to people and for people to take God seriously and to actually be committed to serving God? I don't see how God can do much more. I honestly don't. I was talking to somebody just now about this situation. Because me, I'm also human, you know what? I got a heart and sometimes it bleeds. And they said to me, but what more must we do? I said, I don't believe that there's anything more that we can do. The problem doesn't lie with this ministry. The problem lies with the people that come here. Do you know who brought people to Jesus' ministry? Look around you. It was other people. Jesus didn't have to advertise that He was going to be here or there. People spoke. People were willing to come. You know, I'm reminded of that group of friends who had a man that was an invalid. He was a cripple. And they needed to get this man to Jesus because they knew that Jesus could do something for this man. They went out of their way to make a plan to get this man to Jesus. Even to the point of destroying somebody else's property, they broke the oak's roof open and they lowered him down. And Jesus healed that man. And then today we sit in a situation where we've got people living in Brakpan telling us, oh no, we're too far. They can't come. We must go and pray for them at their house. Then again, I ask you, what's wrong with this picture? We live in a society where people want to give nothing of themselves, but they want you and you want God to give everything of Himself. And then they sit there with all of their problems and they ask the question, oh, but why is my life like this? Well, that's why. Because our attitudes are wrong. Here's my heart on these things. I'm not preaching the word of God to you for anything other than I want to honor God. If today I want to honor God, then tomorrow I'll still want to honor God, and next year I'll still want to honor God. Sometimes I see these things and I ask questions just like you do. Sometimes I feel I don't understand. Probably it's just for you to also know what's in my heart sometimes. But I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to keep standing strong. I'm going to keep pushing forward, because there is a harvest out there and the laborers are few. God never promised that it was going to be easy. In fact, if you read the Bible, probably sometimes it will be difficult. But it would be very nice if people worked with you. It would be nice if some of those people that come here and get healed actually gave a bit back. They don't have to give to me, they must give to the kingdom. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time, commitment, dedication, effort, even just talking. When I went to Nigeria, I know this is a sensitive topic because according to some people, everything that happens up there is demonic. But the one thing that blessed me abundantly about the people there was that they had no shame to talk about what was happening in their life, and they had no shame to give God the glory. You know, the one morning they woke us up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about, this was in the year 2001. The one morning they woke us up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go and see what it looked like outside of the church. The church was on a very busy street, a double lane street. Comparable to this highway running here, but it was in a built up area. Double lane, big street. Do you know that 4 o'clock in the morning, the street was closed off because there was already such a big crowd of people standing outside of that church waiting for the gates to open, that the cars couldn't pass there. Because people had a need and they knew that the need could be met there. And they were willing to sacrifice something to get there. And then I sit in this country where we are now and we have people demand. You have to come and see us. You must do this. You must do that. But I never hear, I am willing to do this. And then I think to myself, but that's where we are now. That's why we are where we are. You know, we all want revival in this country. Revival costs you a price. Revival means you have to go on your knees and you have to give to God. You have to change your heart and you have to change your attitude. To make demands on God is not going to give us revival. To worship Him, to truly accept that He is the King, the Lord, the Almighty One, and treat Him that way and show Him that respect is probably going to get us there. I saw people there that had come from thousands of kilometers, that had cost them everything they had, plus they had to borrow money to get there because they had the hope that God was going to do something for them. Not a man, that God was going to do something for them. And can I tell you what I saw? When they received ministry, they were healed. Can I tell you why they got healed? Because their attitude was right. Can I tell you why a lot of people in this country don't get healed? Because their attitude sucks. Because they come to God with a rebellious spirit. with an arrogant attitude. And then they don't receive. Getting back to the people that lowered their friend through the roof. Jesus saw that as faith. To make a plan to get there. To really care about your friend. That man wasn't healed because of himself. He was healed because of his friends. Let's ask the question, in South Africa, how many people need healing badly? How many of them have friends that care enough to make a plan for them to get to the place of healing? Well, that I can't answer. But you know, sometimes we live with people around us that we know what's going on in their life, and if we just bothered to get a bit involved and to bring them, probably things for them could change. But we don't want to get involved. That's their problem. No, it's not. It's your problem. You are called to be the salt of the earth. You are called to be the light that has to shine. Come stand here quickly. Yes. You all know Fatimaki. Let me see. You see, they did this all wrong. It should say Fatimaki. Who was in charge of this? Stelios, you and I have to talk. The next one must say Fatimaki. Okay. You all know her. She's a good friend of mine. In fact, she's probably my best friend. We've known each other for donkey's years. We've laughed together. We've cried together. Do you know why she's standing here today? I want to first ask a question. How many of you have in some way been blessed by her ministry to you? Wave at me. Okay, that's a lot of people. Do you know why she had the privilege that God could use her in some way to minister to you or your family or whatever? Because of one woman, Donna Carlotta, who took pity on her. Carlotta was a woman that I knew from the south of Joburg. I had been to her house many times and I'd ministered there and I'd prayed for people, and Carlotta knew about me. Fatima was in a place where the doctors told her husband, the psychiatrists told her husband, that she was as mad as a hatter, she would never get better. She was a complete lunatic, and she needed to be put in an insane asylum, and they had to forget about her, and her husband and her children must go on with their life. Wilson, am I lying? No. I'll never forget the one day I went to her house when she had one of her episodes. Her son was in standard 6 at the time. He was about 13, 14 years of age. She had one of those episodes where she wanted to kill everybody in the house. She was like, and Wilson was just running and hiding all the knives and the scissors and everything, because, and when I got there, he was standing there with a Bible quoting Psalm 91 at the top of his voice. They know trials, they know tribulations, they know adversity. But today she's standing here and she's healed. But I want to say to you, she's healed because somebody cared about her. Because somebody had compassion for her. And somebody dared to break down a roof. This woman phoned me and she begged me, please. I know this lady. This and this and this is happening in her life. And Carlotta told me, I have a feeling that this woman's problems are all demonic, and she needs somebody like you that understands this problem, that can help her. Please help this woman. And I did. I went to her house, and well, you can listen to her testimony online, but because somebody was willing to get involved, she's healed today. And one day, Carlotta passed away. She's with God now. But one day the two of them in heaven are going to have a nice cup of coffee and have a long laugh and a good time talking about these things. How does people come to the kingdom of God? Through other people. How did people get to Jesus when Jesus ministered all over the place? Through other people. Because people dared to get excited about Jesus. People dared to share what they saw and what happened. Can I tell you one thing in the South African culture that kry my baie keer onder, that it just, people don't talk. They can see the most amazing things at church on a Sunday, but on Monday they won't open their mouth and tell the people around them that are dying, that are being sucked in by the pit. They won't share. What God does for you is not just for you. It's for you and the people around you. There's a scripture that says, freely you have received, therefore now freely you must give. Raise your hands again if her life has touched you in some way. Then you can say thank you to a woman by the name of Carlotta that cared enough for her to make a difference in her life. Thank you. Then I want to ask this question. How much do we really care about people? Because if we care, we will talk. If we care, we will have the guts to step over that boundary that people say, oh, my life is private. No, salvation is not something private. Because if you have to respect everybody's boundaries, oh, no, I'm private, then you will never get nobody saved. Somewhere along the line, you have to talk to people. You have to invite them. Sometimes you actually have to drive with your car, pick them up and bring them, because you never know what's going to happen when they get here. And when I say, yeah, it might as well be any other church as well. But people are saved because people care. The divine commission is not just for the pastor. It's for every disciple. Therefore now, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They that believe will be saved. Lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. Cast out demons. That's our responsibility. You know, there might be people in your sphere of influence right now that have a massive call on their life to do something amazing for God, but they first have to meet with God. And maybe you are the only link they have to God. There might be nobody else. Who knows? I don't. Sometimes the way things are, it's strange. They say truth is stranger than fiction. A lot of people talk about revival. Oh Lord, give us revival. Oh Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit. Let your fire come down. It all sounds very nice when you say that. But for that to happen, we have to play a role. You think there's going to be revival without people? It's not going to happen. You know, revival starts when people turn their hearts to God first and then to their fellow man. You know, we can't all go and sit on an island somewhere and just worship God for the rest of our life, because then we are also not fulfilling the divine commission. You know, some people, they want to be part of their own little bless me club. I read the Bible, I pray, I worship this, that. I'm in a good place. No, probably you're not, because you should be out there as well, touching people around you. The stuff that you read, the knowledge that you have, should be shared with somebody. That worship that you have in your heart, when you share testimonies with people, it's a form of worship to God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were given to us to minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I don't know if you know what the term stewardship means, but the term stewardship simply means that God has allowed us to have certain things, call it gifts, and we have to prove to God that we are worthy of having that gift. And if we prove to God that we are worthy of having that gift, that we don't just go and bury it in the sand somewhere, then God will cause it to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, more powerful. And you can't do that alone. Because your gift is not for you. Your gift is for the people around you that ever need. Auntie Jenny. Might I be so bold as to say that many times in this place God has healed you. That means my gift touched you. It's not for me. It's for people like you. It's for people like you. It's for people like you. If I don't use it, probably tomorrow God takes it away. But He's not going to take it away. Because I'll use it. Amen. I want us to pray together, and I'm going to tell you what I want us to pray. I really believe God wants to bless these meetings, and He wants us to grow. Right now, I just think people are stubborn, and people have a bit of a don't care attitude. And if we pray and we ask God to help, I'm sure He will. And I want us to pray and ask God to fill this place. God gave me a dream a couple of weeks ago that I was in a hall that looked similar to this hall, but it wasn't necessarily this hall. But there wasn't even enough place for the people. They were standing and they were outside. And I believe that that's what God wants. And I want you to understand something. I don't blame God for the fact that we are on skeleton staff. That's people. Because God is here today, and later when we pray, you're going to see that He's here. The problem is the people aren't here. I can't put a gun to your head and say, come. Because God won't honor that. And you can't put a gun to somebody's head. But probably the attitude of people in this country needs to change. I saw a picture this week. And when I saw the picture, I actually cried. Because sometimes that's the way I feel. The picture was... probably if you give it to Ed quick, he'll put it on the... just Bluetooth it to your computer and then see if you can display it. Now I'm putting Eddie on the spot. I'm going to give them some time to quickly see if they can put the picture on the screen. It comes down to this. Okay, I actually want to ask you a question. Do you think that the devil sends people to church? You say no. I want to challenge your thinking. No, just... do you think the devil sends people to church? Not, I'm talking this church, to church. You're right. What type of church will the devil want to send people to? No. What type of church... I want to tell you something. Don't you think for 1 minute that there's not a movement in the demonic kingdom to send people to church? Satan is not stupid. There's a lot of people that will never go to witch doctors. They will never go to fortune tellers because they got a religious spirit. So he has to find them a place. But he'll find them a dead place. Because they feel better when they go to that place. Because they honor that religious spirit in them. And that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a religious spirit. There's many churches that has a lot of people sitting there. But when you look at the people's lives in the last 15 years that they're there, there's been no change. There's been no spiritual growth. There's been no healing. There's been no restoration. There's been no victory. But we pat ourselves on the shoulder and it's fine. You know what? At least I go to church. My friend, with all due respect, it's not about going to church, it's about meeting with God. Amen? It's not about going to church and patting yourself on the back. It's about having a life-changing experience. It's about repentance. It's about change. It's about transformation. And that doesn't happen everywhere. There are a lot of places that the devil has no problem pushing people. Oh, you want to go? You want to be religious? I've got a good place for you. Go to that place. Go fill that place. Because I'm not afraid of what will happen to you in that place. You won't become a threat to me. In fact, you'll become even more useful to me when you go there. It's sad, but unfortunately, it's true. So, Uncle Ed, you do, don't you? Yeah. I spoke to somebody a while ago about this whole thing, and they were very upset with me, like, oh, but how can you say the devil wants to send people to church? He does. Just because you are a church doesn't mean the devil's afraid of you. I remind you of the seven sons of Sceva. They were religious. They were the sons of the high priest. And they tried to cast out that demon. And the demon turned on them and he said to them, hey, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But you, who are you? And the Bible says he turned on them, and by the time the demon was finished with them, they ran down the street naked and bleeding. Was that demon afraid of them? Then I want to tell you something. Things have not changed. There's a lot of people out there that think the devil should be afraid of them, but he's not. Because there's nothing in them for him to fear. And Satan and his demons do not fear religious people. They fear spirit-filled people. You want the devil to be afraid of you? You have to become a warrior for Christ. And that has nothing to do with my ministry. You have to become a warrior. When the Bible says our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that means you and me. When we join the kingdom of God, we become part of a war. And it is a war, firstly, for my soul and your soul, but secondly, for all the people around me. The enemy doesn't want them to get saved. But they can. Do you know how they're going to get saved? When you become involved and I become involved. When we become involved in some way. And through us, God brings about change. Serving God is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's really difficult. It's tough. Sometimes you have this thing in the back of your mind. Man, my life was better before when I lived for the world. Yes, your life might have been better because the devil didn't give you so much of a hard time. But your destiny was worse. Because without God, your destiny is the fire of hell. With Jesus in your life, your destiny is paradise. And I want to tell you something. You do not want to go to the other place. And you've heard me say it many times, and I'm going to say it to you again. Hell was not created for people, but stupid people choose to go there. Because you got a different choice. Here's the problem. In order for you to avoid going to hell, you got to change your life. It's called repentance. And the word repentance simply means change. The big problem with most people is they don't like change. But you have to change. There are things in your life that sometimes we have to change. Now, that brings me to another thing. Can I tell you what I've learned? I've walked this road now for 17, 18 years. It's a long time. People don't like to be told that they're wrong. You want to ruin the friendship? You tell somebody that they're wrong. How dare you tell me that I'm wrong? Who are you to tell me? Some people want you to tear a lot of pages out of the Bible. Or the message of grace, that's fine. Don't worry, God loves you. Don't worry, everything's going to be okay. Now the grace of God is sufficient for you. Or they like to hear that. But let me help you to understand something. That's not the only message in the Bible. Jesus' first public message, short and sweet, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Doesn't he want to, can't you get it up there? Why don't you send it to his phone? Who? Send it to another phone because the BlackBerry sometimes doesn't communicate lekker. But Eddie's phone will communicate much better. Just send it to him. Okay. Where was I? Say again. Oh yeah, you're right. When we tell people the truth, when we tell them this is the way it is, you tend to step on people's toes. And they don't like it. Do you know why? Because at heart, every one of us is rebellious. I'm not trying to upset you, I'm telling you the truth. When did Adam and Eve have their first child? After they did what? After they rebelled against God. From the first child that was born until the last child that will be born on this earth, the spirit of rebellion is in us all. We don't want to be told what to do. Adam and Eve did not want to be told what to do. When God said, don't do it, the enemy said to them, but why? That thing still surfaces. It's 6,000 years later. People still have that same attitude. Oh, who are you to tell me what to do? And even though they might not say it in so many words, they have the same attitude with God, because there's a lot of things that the Bible says don't do, don't do, don't do. You understand that the Bible has some do's and some don'ts, right? The Bible says honor your father and your mother. Something that we all need to do. Okay, there's the picture. Up there is a big mega church. It says, this is what happens when you preach what people want to hear. And then down there, there's a small little school hall, and it looks a little bit like where we are today. And then it says, when you preach the truth. And then there's 15 people, kind of like what we have today. And you know what? When I saw that, I actually started crying, because I felt in my heart that that's just the way it is. People don't like it when you tell them the truth. People don't like it when you stand... Oh, sorry. Okay. But the reality is, God is not going to tell you what you want to hear. Just like you can't allow your four-year-old to do whatever they want to. They want to play with matches. Ach, it's okay. What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is it's going to burn your house down. Therefore, you have to put your foot down and say no. And you have to correct them, and you have to teach them right from wrong. Did you know that the Bible says God disciplines those He loves? Did you like it? The Bible says when we receive correction, none of us like it. But in the end, it's good for us. When I grew up, my father was very strict. My father was a teacher. My father was a principal. He was very good at giving hidings. I got more than my fair share. Did it kill me? No, it didn't. In fact, it made me who I am today. It contributed to making me who I am today. Sometimes you have to sit in church and God has to give a bit of discipline to bring you back. Why? Because He loves you. Because He sees if He doesn't intervene now, you're going to end up in a place where you don't want to be. In the end, all I can say is this. Whether people like it or they don't like it, whether they want to hear it or they don't want to hear it, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the responsibility of every such minister to preach the truth, not what people want to hear. You know, there's a big church in my area. They look a bit like that church. We'll call them a mega church. They grew very quickly. One of the problems is they grew not out of new converts, but out of other churches flocking to them. But their mandate, when they established this church, was to ask the question, what do people want? And to me, in my heart, they already, you got a problem. Because I want to ask you a question. Do you really know what you want? Some of you are going to sit here and say to me, yes, I know what I want. But then I'm going to say to you, you are like that four-year-old and God is like the parent. And He knows what you should want. If you go and ask a four-year-old what they want to eat, ice cream, chocolates, chips, cold drink. But as a parent, you know that that's not good for them. So should it be about what they want or should it be what you know they need? No, it should be about what you know they need. So when you ask the question, what do people want? You're already putting God in a box. Because you're already telling God, I don't care what you have planned. This is what the people want. This is what I'm going to do. And you know what the shocking thing is? In a period of 2 to 3 years, I think round about, they're sitting with something like 10 to 12,000 members. From a worldly point of view, we would say that they're doing well. From a kingdom point of view, I'm not sure you can say that. Jesus didn't come to give the people what they wanted. He came to give the people what His Father told Him to give. Jesus said, I do nothing but what I see my Father do. You came. Yes, that's true. No. I want to ask you a question. What do you want? The only thing that you should want. You shouldn't come with, I want a 1 hour service. I want no controversial topics. Because if God wants to be controversial, He has to be controversial. If God wants to take the whole day, He should take the whole day. He's in charge, not you. The only thing that you should want is, Lord, I want to be closer to You. I want more of You. I want to be more useful. I want to be more filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to come to a place, yes, where I have more faith, where I can trust You, where I can be more useful. You know what? Those are the things that if we begin to desire that, God will work with us. And through us, God will work with the people around us. Sometimes I think it hurts God and it hurts the Holy Spirit when we have an attitude of, but it must be like this and it must be like this. We want to control. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Shouldn't it be what He wants that counts? Yes, it should. This is Warriors for Christ. I get the message. People don't like to be told when they're wrong. Then those people shouldn't come here. Then it's fine. Then they can stay away. Because if that's what God wants to tell them, then that's what I have to share. People don't like it when we preach controversial things. Controversial to you is perfect for God. People don't like to hear about the devil. How can I not tell you about the devil when your life is falling apart because of him? In the end, that's our calling. Let's take hands and pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, today we are not that many here, but You used 10 men to change the world, 12 men to change the world. I see no good reason why you can't use the people sitting here to change the world. I know that you can. I refuse to limit you because of people. In fact, in the Word of God, you ask this question, whom shall I send? Where can I find a man? You don't even need 12 people, you need one. Well, Lord, the first thing I want to say is, here I am. Use me. And I'm sure that there are some people sitting here today that have the same feeling. Lord, here I am. Use me. You gave me a promise many years ago that you are going to bring about a revival. Lord, we need revival. If I look at how things are, we need revival. This country is falling apart. We have corruption. We have crime. We have absolute stupidity. We have lack. We have poverty. There are so many things going wrong. And every single one of them can to some extent be changed and transformed when people turn their hearts to God. And that is going to come through revival. We want a better government. We need revival in the government. We want better schools. We need revival in that school. We want our families to be prosperous and to be blessed. We need revival in our families. And Lord, revival comes when people begin to move with the wind of God instead of against. We are a very small group here today, but we can change this world. I can't speak for everybody here. Probably I can only speak for myself. It's for them to speak for themselves. But Lord, you can use us. You can use us and you can change this world. You can use us and you can let the fire of God spread throughout this entire region. In fact, the whole country. And if your heart desires, you can spread that fire throughout Africa and the world. I ask you, Lord, to bless this ministry and to bless these people, to let your fire fall and let your kingdom be established. Jesus, you know that this world is dying. It's dying in its sin and its sinfulness. It's dying because of all the evil that seems to prosper everywhere. There is only one way. And it's your kingdom way. When we became disciples, we received a call on our life, all of us, to go out into the world and make a difference. Please help us to go out and make a difference. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we treat you like a quick fix. Forgive us that we choose to come to church only when we got a problem that needs to be fixed, and the rest of the time we just can't be bothered. That attitude is wrong. Forgive us. I pray for revival. I want to ask you a question. How many of you are willing to agree with me in prayer to ask God for a spirit of revival to move? Then that's what we're going to ask God today. You know, I'm not going to preach my sermon because I've probably taken too much time already, but I want to say something to you, my friend. We need revival. And if you think we don't need revival, then I don't know where you live. But we need revival. You know, we complain about this government. Only God can change it. We complain about our schools. Only God can change it. But He needs us to work with Him. God needs revival. We need revival. The Bible says, if you ask me, If you believe in your heart that you have received it, I will give it to you. Then today, let's do that. You want to tell me you can't do with some revival in your marriage? I'm sure you can. You want to tell me you can't do with some revival in your family? I'm sure you can. You want to tell me that the area that you live in, I know that most of you are not from Springs, but you need revival? God can. Can I tell you how? Because you are a light. Have you noticed that the brighter you make the light, the more the darkness has to disappear? If you are a bright light in your area, the darkness has to flee. Finished and clear. It's not negotiable. It's the way it is. The scriptures speaking, prophesying about Jesus says, they that live in the valley of the shadow of death and in darkness have seen a bright light. When people around you are living in darkness and you bring light into their life, for some reason they want to be around you. I can tell you one thing about the auntie. She's never afraid to open her mouth and talk. Your son says he agrees. But can I tell you what I've noticed? People like to be around her. Do you know why? Because there's light coming through her life. And the darkness in them seems to disappear when they're around her. And she's not the only one. We've got other people here as well. I just use her as an example. Why not? Why can't God do that? He wants to do that. Let's trust God. Let's ask God for that revival. Today I shared with you my heart. This morning when I came in here and I saw there were so few people, I felt my spirit was burdened and I felt heavy in my heart. And I'm also not going to be a hypocrite. It's time for me to say something about that. I just think people need to treat God better. I want to talk about one more thing and then I'm going to finish. Jesus healed 10 lepers. 2 came back. Jesus said, where is the rest? Didn't I heal all of you? People today, daar's 'n mooi Afrikaanse woord, mense is ondankbaar. People are not thankful. They are ungrateful. You know, I've seen God do such amazing things here, and then we never see those. We hear via this and this happened. They don't even have the decency to come back and testify and give glory to God. And I think that sucks. I think that's horrible. And that's the culture that we have. It's wrong. You know, I can't pat that on the shoulder and on the head and say, okay, it's fine. No, it's wrong. Jesus was offended because people did not come back and say thank you. You think if he was offended back then, he's happy now? I want to tell you something, he's not. Because people just want to come and milk. Gimme. I want. No. When God does something for you, you have to be thankful. You know, just in the natural, if I do a lot for you and you like sort of treat me like rubbish, probably that's the last time I'm going to help you. There are some people that they need God to do things and God does nothing. Can I tell you why? Because God has seen your attitude. You're not thankful. If you're not thankful, why must he help you? If when he did something amazing for you the last time, you treated it with contempt, just like, whatever, probably this time he's not going to move his hand because he's God. So we need to be thankful. And I actually think that's what I'm going to do. Today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and say one or two things that you are thankful for in front of everybody. Today, we're going to humble ourselves before God and give thanks. The Bible says, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. We don't do that. Can I tell you one thing that many times in this ministry has hurt me? we will have a Sunday where we see freaking amazing things happen. The next Sunday I say, who wants to come and testify? Nobody comes. Then I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? Was I in the twilight zone when all of this stuff happens? Because I saw what God did for you, and I saw what God did for you, and you tell me you got nothing to say thank you for? Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's wrong. It can't be like that. Because I don't blame God if he stops moving then, because probably I would stop as well. It's like, we have to say thank you. We have to bring thankfulness to God, because he deserves it. How long have we been going? Oh, well, then we have to stop. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm inviting you. I am going to pray for people, because that's what we do. But today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come, and you're going to take the microphone and you are going to say thank you. I'm not going to tell you what to say thank you for. You know what you can thank God for. But let's start saying thank you for what God does. Let's change our culture. We are a culture that, oh, we don't talk about stuff like that. We are wrong. You know, I spoke to somebody a couple of times and oh, but I'm not like that, or God made it all, us all different. I understand that we can all be different, but sometimes we are wrong. And sometimes we need to change who we are or how we are. Just because you didn't grow up being like that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be like that, because that's the right way for you to be. We should have a thankful heart. We must cultivate thankfulness towards God for what God does. And then probably we'll see more and more and more of God work in our life. It's not that difficult. Actually, it's easy once you do it. And the more you do it, the more it will come. And the more it comes, the more you will see of God's grace and God's hand working in your life. I'm going to end off now. And then I'm going to give some... it looks to me like there's something to eat. Did you bless us again? Oh, may you be very blessed. Yes, please. And then I'm going to give opportunity. I'm going to be quiet and you're going to come and say thank you to God. You're going to give God his position in your life at the top. And then we'll pray.